Amen. With the words in Matthew 7, Jesus brings to culmination, to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a whole big bunch of stuff preceding. And he does so with a poignant little truth about two men who offer a number of comparisons and contrasts, raising the question, what kind of foundation are we building on? What kind of foundation am I building on? What does my life rest on? As you and I begin a new year, we face new challenges. We also face some old challenges as individuals: work, family, health. As a church, we have lots of opportunities, not the least of which is possibly a new pastor coming before this year is over. Who knows? God knows. And it's critical, whether as an individual or as a church, that we start right. That we start right. That we have a sense of who we are and where we're going. That we know where our true strength is found. Because there will be storms. That's a given. There will be difficulties. And how we finish is determined so greatly by how we start. What kind of foundation are we building on? As you look at this short little story, let's first look at what these two men had in common. First, they shared a common vision. A common vision. They both wanted to build a house. Their dreams were the same. Their longings were the same. Their desire was the same. What makes these two men alike is that their view of the future was on par. They both wanted to build a house. And take that concept of building houses and apply it personally. In its most immediately interpretation, to build a life worth living, to build a life that had purpose, significance, that was going somewhere, substance. We all want our lives to count for something. We all want our lives to be happy, to be joyful, to be fulfilling. I would guess that the big question would be for all of us this morning is your vision of a great life the same as God's vision? Are we going in the same direction, or are we going in different directions? You know, so many times we have totally different ideas of what a great life looks like. We do amongst ourselves. Maybe we have a totally different idea of what our life should look like and what God would want our life to look like. You know, sometimes the life we're looking doesn't look all that much, you know, like the blueprint that he's given us for it to follow. Whether it's our family, whether it's our job or school or retirement, we have a vision for every season of our life. And these two men shared a common vision. And for sure, they shared the vision of building a house. And that vision can also be applied to our life together as a church. A vision to have a stronger, more loving, more trusting fellowship that's meaningful for every member, that we all truly feel part of a family, that we all truly have a sense of urgency and a sense of care for the community around us, for our world, individually and collectively, to come to know Him as their God. Both of these men had the same vision. In many ways, it was a shared vision. But not only did both of these men have the same vision, they both had heard the divine truth. Think about it. They both went to the same Sunday school. They both shared a Bible study. Because it says right there in the text, both of these men heard these words of mine. I used to think that one man was godly and the other was not. Maybe you thought the same thing. Maybe the other one was just a heathen, you know. That's why he'd build his house on the sand, right? No, isn't the case. When you read this carefully, there's a very important truth that both these men went to the same classroom and went to the same church, maybe had the same professor. And it doesn't get any better than that, because in this case, the written word was communicated by the living word, Jesus himself. Maybe that entire Sermon on the Mount that's preceded. So we're not talking about one man having a love for hearing the truth and another man in total disdain for it. That isn't the case. No, both of these men look too much like us. Both of these men are maybe too much like us. They both availed themselves of Scripture. They both were in a sense, men of the church. And they were assumed by the world, at least, to be good men, probably godly men. So the comparison between these two men is that they had the same vision. They wanted to see things rise from the ground and go higher, a life, a family, a ministry, all three, all together, everything. And they had the same instructor, the same instructions. They both had heard the divine truth. Well, there's a third comparison even in this passage. These men lived in the same neighborhood. I know they're not much said here about what neighborhood, no address listed on these guys. But if you look at the story, they lived in the same neighborhood because both men faced the same storm. Not a storm over here and another storm, you know, like that, not like Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Debbie or something. No, this was the same storm, it says in our text. They faced the same storm. The same storm. The description of the storm is precisely the same in both cases. And it affected both men. It had to, or the story loses its point. Everybody, all of us are affected by a storm. Everybody is affected by the negative realities of life. The things that happen to us that just happen. And they're not good. The details may differ a little bit, but life is not always sunshine. And I don't need to tell you that. You know that. Life is not always exciting. Life is not always pleasant. Life has its moments of tears. Jesus in Matthew 5 shared that passage. It was shared in Sunday school this morning. He, God, causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. Sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Oh, we all share maybe the same vision. We want to build something. We want things to be better. We all hear the same truth. We gather and we worship together. We read the Bible. We may even go to Sunday school and or a Bible study a time or two. We've heard what God says. We all face the same storms. In Ecclesiastes, we're told there's nothing new under the sun. We all face temptation, trials, health issues, doubts, pain. The storms of life are common to us all. But here is where things begin to change. The first thing that Jesus recognized is that these two men possessed two different characters. Jesus called the first man a wise man. He calls the second man a moron. The Greek word for foolish is moros. That's where we get the word moron. Wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply it to life. The fool in Scripture is not necessarily the person who lacks information. Oh no. It's the person who does little or nothing with the information that they have. Proverbs is full of talk about the fool who hears but does not respond. Jesus described the wise man as one who, in verse 24, hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. The foolish man, down in verse 26, hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Pretty simple. In other words, one believes, truly believes, and the other really doesn't. He doesn't. One builds a life, his dreams, on the truth of God. The other just sort of picks and chooses whatever he wants and hopes that everything will turn out okay. So these two men were fundamentally different. Well, don't get me wrong, they both had dreams and they both had training. They both had storms. There were a lot of things alike. They looked alike in many, many ways. On the outside, they looked like Siamese twins. But in the description given by Jesus, it says they were fundamentally different in their heart and their character. In other words, the foundation of their life was very, very different. And that difference in heart and soul is reflected in how they then built their dream, how they fulfilled their vision. Jesus says the wise man built his house upon the rock. And he says the foolish man built his upon the sand. A different heart equals a different foundation. Thus, the undergirding and underpinning of your vision and my vision and your dreams and my dreams, they may not be the same. They weren't the same for these two men. And this difference between the two men is fundamentally rooted in the fact that the second man, the foolish man, was building a house for show. He was building it for show. And the man who built his house on the rock was building his house to last. The second man was not concerned with how long the house would stand. He didn't care how long it'd be. There'd be there long enough maybe to see him through. That's all he cared about. He just wanted to make sure that however long it was, that it would make him look good and feel good. A life, a home, a ministry that's not properly founded on the right foundation is just for show. It's just for show. Compare that with this wise man who, as Luke says, dug down deep, and built his house on the solid rock. It took sacrifice. It took effort. It took commitment. It reflected responsibility, but it lasted. If you were to drive by both of these men's homes, you wouldn't discover that there was a difference. They looked just alike. If you were to talk to the men, maybe you wouldn't even know that there was a fundamental difference in their character. The only time that you would discover there was a difference between these two men and the lives and the homes or ministries they built was during the storm. Only the storm reveals the nature of your foundation. As long as the sun is shining, you don't think about what you're built on. You don't care about what you're built on, really. But the storm has a way of letting you know what kind of foundation you really have. That's why in a season of resolutions and a new year kind of thing, it's good that we think about foundations. It's good to think about, is Jesus the rock that my heart is built on? Is His Word the foundation that my life and my home and my work is based on? Or does my work come first? Does my family come first? Do all these other things? Does my success, my job, come first? There's a couple of basic truths about foundations. One is that the foundation comes first. You don't build a house and then add a foundation. I think we can figure that out. You begin with the foundation. You begin. And the second truth about foundations is that it's very difficult to pour a foundation when it's raining. If you can pour a foundation before it rains, that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. Or you can pour a foundation after it rains, after the storms come and the troubles happen. But it's real, real difficult to pour a foundation while it's raining. Oh, it can be done, but it is real difficult. Whatever foundation you're going to have, you need to get it solidified. You need to get it solidified before the storm. So when the storm comes, you're not in crisis. That's so important. Because we always think, and I'm a procrastinator in many ways. We always think, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Or I've got so much on my plate right now, I just cannot put anything else on my plate. I've got to do that later. And what gets left off? What gets left off so often? We squeeze God out, don't we? We put Him away. We just say, well, He's not the urgent. But I think what Jesus is saying in this little parable is that He is the urgent. He is the urgent. It really doesn't matter what we're going to do in the morning. It really doesn't matter what we're going to do the rest of this day. It doesn't matter what our job is or anything else. If we don't have Jesus as the foundation of our heart, if His word and His truth and His ministry, His calling is not the foundation of our church, we're wasting our time. Because when the storms come, the house will fall. The house will fall. This year, in many, many ways, offers a big beginning. A big beginning for our church. A new start in so many ways. One many of us have never experienced. Whether personally or as a church. There's a lot of new things coming our way. And it's important. In fact, it's critical that we get our relationship with God right. Right from the start. It's important that we make Him the foundation of our life and every vision and every dream we endeavor. Make Him the focus of all we do. Think about what that involves. On this third Sunday of a new year, let's each of us resolve to trust God with our dreams, with our health, with our very lives. Let's trust God with our church and the ministry that He has for us. And He has a ministry, oh, far bigger than anything we've thought or imagined, He says. He has already chosen a new person to serve among us, with us. We have a committee out there trying to discern who that person is. Who has God called for our church? That special person. Special person. Oh yeah, new things are happening. Good things are happening. Great things are happening. And He's already given us all we need to bring Him glory and herald His kingdom into this community and this area in which we live. God has blessed us. He has. And He calls for us to make sure, to make certain that our foundation is strong.